Oh, hi. Welcome. Thank you for being here. Who else joined in?
Sandra from Virginia Beach.
Hello, Sandra. Welcome back.
Donna from Great Falls, Montana.
Hello, my dear sister Donna. Thank you for being here.
Hi,
oh, hello, brother. Hi, everybody. I'm sorry I'm late. I just woke up.
All right. I'm glad you're here now. Who else joined in? If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Robin, Ronnie, Glendora.
Oh, Robert and Ronnie, thank you for being here.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Donna.
Hey.
How are you?
I just woke up, honey.
Who did that hear, sorry?
New Mexico, Raiden.
Hello, Raiden. Welcome to the call.
Good evening.
New Mexico.
Good evening. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Felipe, Long Beach, California.
Hello, Felipe. Welcome back, my brother.
Hello, brother. How are you? Hello, everyone.
Good, man.
Hello.
Hey, Wanda.
Hello, Donna.
Hey, honey.
And more people might have joined in here who have not announced themselves. If you feel like doing so, please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn in Flagstaff.
Hey, hello, Marilyn. Welcome.
Thank you.
What
the
number
one?
Thank you. Now, welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
This is Terry in Dallas.
Hi, Terry. Good evening and welcome to the call.
Good evening.
Right. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Steve from West Palm Beach.
Hi, Steve. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you.
All right. And another call joined in after you. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, how you say, everybody?
Hi.
Good evening, Don, and welcome.
Good evening.
Hello, Don.
Hello, Don.
Howdy.
Hi, Terry. Hi, Don.
Hello.
All right. It's almost 6 o'clock. Welcome all those people on BBS Radio. Thank you for joining in.
Hey, please.
All right. So it's 6 o'clock. I think that Vin will be here in just a moment. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Goodbye. Terry Brown, are you here? Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi,
Hello, Terry.
Hi.
It's so great to have you again. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
All right.
Hi, Terry.
Sunshine to you, Terry.
Thank
you. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hello, Terry.
Hi.
And more people joined in. And if you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Dharmananda.
Dharmananda, how are you doing?
Well, could be better. Good, could be worse.
All right. I'm glad you're here, my friend. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, it's Elvis in Memphis.
Elvis in Memphis. No, good evening,
alive.
Chris. Welcome.
Hello, Elvis.
I've been wondering where you were.
We're starting channeling early.
Hi, Morgan in California.
Hi, Morgan.
Hi, Downs. How are everyone? Hope everyone's well.
Hello, Wynn.
Hi, Morgan.
It's better Elvis than Jim Morrison.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Did you see that story they did on the Jim Morrison Still Alive on Coast to Coast once, and they showed a picture of a guy who about his age really looked like him?
Supposedly, there's a John Lennon lookalike that's performing in Canada that people think is really John Lennon and that he staged his death. I don't know. That's probably not true.
That was pretty public.
Have you heard about that?
No. His death was pretty public.
Hello, someone's calling in.
After he killed him.
Hello, Jim.
Hello. I'm sorry for interrupting who was ever speaking, but I figured I could have just 1 second to wish everyone a very happy evening, and my love goes out to all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Sunshine to
you,
too.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. That was good when you interrupted.
You're very welcome.
Jim, I thought you were going to wish us happy Mother's Day.
I did that. I already did that.
No, it's Happy Brother's Day.
Ah.
Happy Brother's Day.
What a wonderful thought.
Well, at least he's calling you a brother, not a mother.
Can you guys tell that Jim used to be a king?
A what?
Yes.
A king.
Yep.
I think he still is.
Kind of the tone, his voice is kind of the tone. Kind of demands respect.
Well, no, but actually the truth is, many, many years ago, I was the king of mediocrity.
Better to rule in mediocrity than serve in whatever.
I like the oxymoron, yeah, king mediocrity, very good. Good.
King oxymoron. Now, that does not come from a channeling that he was a king, okay? It's just that...
It came from Jim.
It didn't come from him. The two of us are in the same house. And there's a lot of negotiation of energy to get a king and a pharaoh to get along. So we're doing it, though.
The saint.
It takes a saint to...
To mediate, okay? That sounds like a good movie, doesn't it?
I can come and be the court jester.
Think you're the house cleaner.
What the hell? All right, so here we are.
There's eyes keeping us on track. Okay, let's start the recording. Let's see. It is.
This conference is being recorded.
It is May 13th, 2015. All of us, wherever we are, and since there's actually no place, there's only one place, and it's just a physical reality, why bother saying where we are? Huh? I guess it's...
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
It's low on energy. Now, there goes Hives muting everybody. And here goes me. I'm going to unmute everybody, but I wanted to ask something and maybe have you guys share for a moment before we start our questions. Now, I thought the Monday call was really amazing the way it ended. Not the beginning where I was talking about birthdays. That was fun, but that was not amazing. The way the call ended... Where we, you know, if you weren't there, I recommend you listen to it. And you can start, you can skip the birthday stuff and get probably about 25 minutes into it, where we did another session of how the Elohim created the universe. And at the end of it, they said something that was really touching that. I know in my mind is true, but I really felt the energy of it when they said it, and they felt the energy. And that was how we are actually part of them. They said that, and the energy flowed, and we are. We are part of them. But they said it in such a poignant way. I'm just curious if anyone else felt that in a special way when they said it. Here we go, I'm unmuting. Don't make a lot of noise because then Heise has to be really busy muting you. Okay, here we go.
All callers are unmuted.
Sorry, I meant to send you an email saying exactly that. It was wonderful.
Is that Morgan?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I saved you the trouble. Anyone else?
That was great. I really liked that. That was Wes. I had experienced that myself.
Yeah. And anyone else?
It was wonderful confirmation, Wynn.
It was confirmation.
Yeah.
No. Could you feel the energy when they said it? The connection.
Oh yeah.
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 It was really deep. Okay. And
I'm looking forward to the transcript of that piece.
The transcript, well, you know, we haven't been doing transcriptions lately, although somebody recently, you know, one of the reasons I stopped doing transcriptions is because, you know, there's two things happening, and from my point of view, in the work we're doing, there's two distinct things happening. One is giving everybody who's a transcriptionist.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Giving everybody who is attracted to this work support in the best way we can. And the other one thing is, you know, and this is, it's on me to do this because no one else is doing it. I wish somebody else did it, but going out and putting this out into the world so people find us. It's, you know, what I see is it's a kind of a matter of serendipity. You can't tell people what it is. You got, I mean, I can because I can talk about it, but even I, you know, it's been an almost art form to figure out how to represent this to people. So they were curious, they reached back. And so I personally think those of you who are attending our calls and subscribing to our work are probably getting the best show on the planet. I mean, it really is phenomenal. I mean, because it's like, now not everyone has got this yet. Some of you are here and you're saying, what's he talking about? But as I said before, there's energies on these calls that, I mean, where can you get, go pick up the phone and feel the energy of these celestial sources on the phone line and have them talk to us? And it's just that, I thought when we were doing the transcription project, if I had all the resources in the world and all the time, and Terry did, it is a great project because it's really good to have transcriptions up on the site because some people absorb the material better when it's written and they absorb it faster when it's written. And we'll probably get back to it again when and if there's somebody really strong to head the project, because it's a big project, and there's a lot of people that would volunteer to do transcripts that are, I know that are being touched and listened, and it's always good to do them, but I don't want to pay attention to it. And Terry was paying attention to it, and she was trying to lead it, and I just thought it was misdirecting our energy for, you know, how would I say it, the highest purpose that is important to get out there and get people paying attention. I have projects in line to get happening. And on top of it all, making money so we can support everything. And so everything is starting to converge, starting to come together. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. So can Terry. It's like going on, you probably heard me say this, but we're flying to Denver and we're going to have two episodes on Beyond Belief, which is George Norrie's internet show, and they're really going to produce it. Apparently, they spend $4,000 for each episode, so that's $8,000. You know, they got a producer. There's going to be mixing videos in. They're going to be showing some of the old challenge we did with Daphne and with Terry, and I don't know how it's going to come out, but it's exciting to get a presentation in that format, which will have all that credibility with it, not just me talking, but videos to back things up. So, Terry, are you there?
I'm here. Yes.
Should I ask you a question, or are they coming in?
You can ask.
Okay. Let me see now. Oh, I was just going to ask you, is there anything you want to add to what we're doing?
Well, I just wanted to thank the two people that there was two people that were, well, I wanted to thank all the transcribers. There was two people that got to do just about a perfect job really fast. And I could edit it and look at it really fast. And then they once they got really good, they stopped. Anyway, it's important, and like Monday's call was extraordinary, and I would love to have it transcribed and go up there. I think it would expand
our All right. I'll bet you get a bunch of emails now saying, I'll transcribe Monday. Okay, but if you transcribe it, don't bother transcribing my birthday jokes, okay? Just start with the channeling was. It was not that much, all right? And, you know, part of this preamble we do at the beginning is not necessarily important for somebody reading the material. Sometimes there's really good things we say, but it's more just to get into our group energy and to feel the energy. And it creates a zone, a safety zone, a protective zone for the channeling. So when we start, it's, you know, the Elohim comes in, the Ra'an comes in, kind of as part of our group, rather than some outside source. And it's kind of like, here we are commiserating, and they start joining it energetically, and that's how it looks to me. And, you know, I got a really good question to read tonight, okay? A lot of good questions. Let's see, before we just start with Terry, let me see if we got any last-minute questions. Just a second here. Da-da-da-da. I don't think so. All right. No, wait a second. Maybe we did. I'm looking at May 8th. Okay. Let's see. Okay. I got... good question from Dave Ferringer in Grove City, and I'll try to get to your question. That is a good question, and I have that same experience you're talking about. Okay, and so we'll start out. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies and into the center of the earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And I'm going to start adding a little tag to our invocation that we just ask all of us and all of them in this moment to take our group energy, feel that energy, and surround our planet, and surround and touch everyone that's reaching out for connection on planet Earth, and send that energy to Earth herself, and send this energy to all those areas where there's potential earthquakes, anywhere in the world, and send this energy to all those victims, people that were in the earthquake in India and Nepal, and to all those people that passed that are on the other side, and ask our sources to work with them and help them in their transition. And on that note, we turn it over to our sources. Thank you.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are with you here. This is the 13th May, 2016. And we look at all the time zones on planet Earth. And we take a look at the area of connection. We are connected. We may be hard to see, to sense, to touch. We have a very high frequency. And in order to see the high frequency, one needs to look in the area of the high frequency. When one looks in the right place, then one sees and one finds. As far as all it is, we see that everyone, us included, each person on the line, each person, each spark of divinity is a part of all that is. I would like to ask if Jim can close his door, as everything has an echo right now. Do you have questions?
Did he close the door?
I don't hear the echo now.
Okay, just a moment. I'm going to go out.
The door is closed.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
And let's go to our questions here. All right. I'm going to start out with a question from Aaron Kraft.
Thank you.
And Aaron...
This is a beautiful question.
Yeah, it's a beautiful question. But I'm starting this out because Aaron made a comment, because he's been paying attention to us for a couple of years. And a lot of times people kind of go gaga when they first find us. And that's understandable, because it's like what we're doing seems so amazing and so unusual, and it's hard to relate to. Yet, you know, it's, you may know it's real, or you may sense that it's real, but you haven't grown to relate to it. And then those of you who have been on our calls for a year or two, and sometimes this happens quicker than that, you start to get used to it. And it's still just as special, but now you're on the inside of the specialness. And it takes a period of time to go from the gaga state to being on the inside of the specialness. And Aaron was one of those people who was in the gaga state. And I really liked him, but he was gaga. And it was very hard to make a connection. And sometimes when somebody's first discovering us, we kind of have to stay a little aloof because it's hard to relate because people think, you know, have too high an expectation. In fact, sometimes people get to meet us and when they're in the gaga state, and it's very difficult because they usually say, man, those guys are regular people. I thought they were something special. But we are something special, but we're also regular people. And we don't disguise that. That keeps us, you know, humble, keeps us not having ego, and it keeps us all in the auspices of the law of one. And even the Elohim are regular people, and the Ra group are regular people. And it's, they're not people, though. But they, as I get it, they don't like the people to be gaga over them. They don't want people to worship them. They can come into our calls and they can work with our group intentions. Just as we can choose to work with each other, they can choose to work with us, and it makes it more powerful. And they're really happy to have a bunch of people down here that can grab that energy. So here is, I want to read what Aaron said, because he really talked about he made a very good expression here of somebody that came in and finally started to internalize the whole thing. It's been a while since we've spoken, but I still have been catching the replays and live calls from time to time. I will never forget the amazing realization when I came to accept that what is going on here is real, when after the first time I called into the conference line a few years ago, suddenly synchronicity started occurring like never before, all the time. There is no way to explain these experiences to someone else in any sort of way that could ever convey the gravity of it. I have since stopped trying to explain it, as I have come to understand that these experiences are only meant for the experiencer. And so trying to tell somebody else who had not had such an experience will mean nothing to them. I am forever grateful that your work has provided the circumstances which led to my expansion enough to have the experience. And I will always be a part of this group and a contributor to the group energy. So thank you. This is the first time I have written in with a question for one of the calls, so I hope it makes the cut. The other day I was listening to the call, and they were talking about expansion and contraction in reference to creating the universe. When I heard this, it suddenly reminded me of a recurring childhood dream that I used to have, usually whenever I was sick with a high fever. Maybe it was more of a nightmare, but I remember very distinctly the sensation that this dream created in my mind. I will do my best to describe it, because it's not a typical dream, but rather more of a feeling. I remember whenever I had this dream, it was as though I was outside of my physical body, just sort of floating in a void. Then I would experience an indescribable infinite density, a pressure that cannot be imagined, compression down to a single point, and then I would zoom into this point and suddenly experience the opposite sensation of infinite hugeness, and then back to extreme densification. This was an extremely uncomfortable dream, and I remember as a kid. This happened between the ages of 6 and 12, just wanting it to go away. I'd wake up in a cold sweat every time. It was pretty miserable. So when I heard them talking about density, it totally brought me back to being a kid and having this dream. Only now I wonder if that was some sort of lingering memory, perhaps of the experience that we go through as we incarnate, densifying from light down into physicality. So I guess my question is, were those dreams that I had as a kid, as uncomfortable as they were, might have they been some type of lingering memory of what it is like to go through the process of becoming physical? And if so, I hope the process was less uncomfortable going the other direction. Thank you for the time in taking and to put my question through tonight. Erin.
Thank you. This is a beautiful question. And just as you have accurately described it, it can provide much information on how one can move into incarnation and can move back out of incarnation. It is hard to describe it more beautifully than you have. And we can give you some information that will help the process be much easier. When you are floating in space in an area before incarnation, you have anchor points that are larger than the space that you will incarnate into. And when you move from the larger to the contracted, you can hold on. There is still an echo, and we're going to see if all the doors are closed because it takes the attention off of the answer. So, all right, now we'll see if this closing the doors to the outside makes the system. This is an important question and gives much information about the process of incarnation. And when you have the dream, you are actually moving into the larger space and then moving into the smaller space, moving into the larger space and into the smaller space. And as you move into the smaller space, your space contracts and you feel pressure. There is a way to move from larger to smaller and smaller to larger without experiencing the intense pressure. And that is to stay in the present moment and flow with the contraction so that you don't hold on to the larger space, but let it go as you contract. And as you contract and get into the smaller space and stay with it so that you are in present time right there with it and not holding on to any of the anchor points from the larger space, then you can move from larger to smaller and smaller to larger. But if you try to hang on to the sensation of the larger space at the same time that you are moving into the smaller space, then you experience the tremendous pressure of the contraction. You may want to listen to this more than once. It is not just you that experiences this phenomena. It is other many. It is a phenomena that is present and there for people, or people experience this. For instance, if someone goes on a drug trip and then they get larger, and sometimes it is very bad experience because then they don't want to get smaller, and sometimes they lose the silver thread that connects them to their body. We have said this, and you may need to listen to this more than once. As you go from larger to smaller, and hold on to the larger and try and bring it into the smaller, then you feel the pressure, the intense pressure. If you move from larger to smaller and let go each instant of where you were and move into the smaller, then you can move into a very, very small space and not experience the tremendous pressure. We hope that that is clear. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm just curious, is that something that I can do easily? It seems like I can walk from my experiences, I can walk from a larger space to a smaller space really fast, but I'm just curious if my experience matches what you're describing.
This is an experience, a phenomena of leaving the body and coming back to the body, but it's not an experience so much of going from a large room to a small room, although there is some trace of that phenomena in going from a large space to a small space. And some individuals, when they are in a confined space, have trouble with that because their space is so large that they are taking up outside the room, which is one thing that you do, but you have some control over the movement.
Thank you. Okay, from Dave in Grove City, Pennsylvania, if I lay quietly, I feel an energy around my body, like a tingle. I seem to be able to control it. Where is this energy coming from?
Well, Grove City, where is Grove City?
In Pennsylvania. Dave is a regular on our call. I believe he plays music, might even repair guitars. He's asked questions before.
Could you read the question one more time?
If I lay quietly, I feel an energy around my body, like a tingle. I seem to be able to control it. Where is this energy coming from?
Thank you. This energy is generated within your light body. And energy feeds into your light body, where it can go when you have a project, a song, something you are working on that is very exciting, and the energy builds within your body, within your light body, and then you experience a sensation of joy, a sensation of expansion, of a sensation of anticipation. It is an energy that comes from differentials that you experience and is contained like a capacitor in your light body.
Thank you. And we have another question from Dave. I have a family member who is very difficult to be around due to his massive negative energy. Is there anything that can be done? I would hate to give up on him, but I can't take it much longer.
Thank you. Take a look within yourself at the resistance you have and what you have the resistance to. See what it is in his outgoingness, his energy that he doesn't even express, that you put up a barrier to. See which of those energies you can take the barrier down and just let it move on through and out and gone. See where it is that you might be able to get through to him through cryptic comments that don't require a response. And see if you can cut some of the corners off your resistance.
In this kind of situation, when somebody has what someone else perceives as a negative energy and it affects them, does that mean that somewhere inside the person that's being affected, that they have some residual of that same negative in them, and if they didn't, it would pass through them?
It is possible, and it's also possible, that the person that Dave needs to work with at self-acceptance so that it doesn't get to you. So this person doesn't trigger something within you that makes you react. And take a look at your reactions. See if within your reactions there is something you need to learn.
Thank you. This is from Deb D. in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I'm going to make a comment to her question, and then I'll turn it over to you. I am a natural health care practitioner. And I have heard that some people set an intention for healing. When working with a patient, I have not done this before. Do you ask the Elohim if this does indeed make a difference in helping the patient heal? And I wanted to make the comment that there's a fellow, I believe, also in Milwaukee, if he hasn't moved, Jeffrey, and he was on a school bus, and he had this rowdy bunch of people coming onto a school bus, and he was actually scared. They were so rowdy. They were fighting. They probably had weapons. And I made the suggestion to him that before anyone enters his bus, he call in the light and create a light energy in the bus. And as each person would walk in, that he would see them surrounded in that. And he reported back to me that it worked, it was miraculous, and he had the happiest bunch of kids that he was driving to school. And it seems to me the same principle holds for a healer, that prior to working with a person, take a moment of silence. This is my suggestion, okay? Take a moment of silence and connect with their energy, and connect with a feeling of loving, and see if that increases interaction, energetic interaction with the person. And that's one idea. And I'll turn it over to our sources and let them share from their perspective.
Thank you. Many healers have a certain setting that the person walks into. For instance, it's clean and it's friendly and the atmosphere is one of acceptance. This will go such stage toward the individual then being more able, more present in his ability to heal. And then on top of it, your energy, intention for healing surrounds in the person, and energy is transferable so that the individual then has your intention towards healing, which then the cells, the body, picks up that intention and helps the person, particularly if they have a similar intention toward healing, it strengthens the person's ability to heal the body.
Thank you. Next question. This is from Rosia in Canada, and she's always sending me a few questions. I'm going to ask one of them, and one of them is, you know, she has a thought about her mother who died, and I imagine, this is Lynn speaking, she feels incomplete in some way, and her question is, will my deceased mother ever contact me in a dream to tell me she's okay?
Your mother has been trying to contact you, but does not know how to focus the energy to get it into a dream, or to focus the energy for you to catch. They sent your mother, and we see she really wants to contact you. Whether she can learn how to put this into a dream, we do not know. She is at a lower frequency of connection than where you are looking. But she loves you very much.
If Rosia sends her mother loving energy from where she's at, can her mother feel it?
Yes.
And does that open the door for some kind of communication? Or can her mother send energy back on the same line?
Her mother does not know how, but her mother is sending energy, but not on the same line.
Okay. But it's good for Rosia to just send love to her mother, because her mother can feel it. Yes.
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 Okay. Thank you. Next question here is from, let's see, Rich Buckley. And Rich, I want to, like, rephrase your question, okay? Because it's a bigger question than you're asking. And I'll read it the way you wrote it, and then I'm going to rephrase it. And they can answer it any way they want. The question you wrote was, may I ask the Elohim to teach us how to meditatively disable the negative and apparently harmful effects? No, I don't know what this is. Jade Helm 15, I've seen the name. It's underway in some kind of, supposedly some kind of program to send frequencies to people to inflict harmful results to them, to, you know, like some kind of mind control. And the question is, in general, I'd like to rephrase the question. In general, we do understand there's a lot of intentional harmful frequencies that are in our spaces. Some of them are in the air. Some of them supposedly travel through televisions and even computers that are affecting people's nervous systems, affecting their energy levels. And how can one work and limit the impact of those frequencies on themselves, and how can we work as a group? We put this on the light every Sunday, but are there other things someone can do beyond that? Thank you.
Thank you. One of the things is that people are not generally aware of frequencies that are affecting them adversely. And being not aware of them, then they think that it is all them. They think that they are creating the frequencies. They're creating the thought processes. And they're affected by them, but they do not know that they are affected. They only know that they wish whatever it is would stop. So the first step is to take a good look at what is actually yours and what is something that is foreign to you, something you disagree with, something that's somehow making you feel not optimum and you don't know where it's coming from. If you can increase your sensitivity, like tuning a radio station, then you can see what is not yours and let it pass through you and tune it out. Thank you.
Thank you. This is from Bonnie in Corona. A couple of weeks ago, I asked a question about the slideshow of faces I saw while meditating in 2012. I came across a handwritten note to myself where I had described this experience, and I was surprised that I had forgotten the part that made this extraordinary enough to write it down. I have had the slideshow vision more than once, but on this particular occasion, I wrote, I see faces of all shapes and nationalities. Some are looking at me directly with a knowing smile, and I slowly began to notice that there is someone behind me on the left side, and I can somewhat see their hand in my peripheral vision. As I am observing and acknowledging these individuals in front of me, I am also keeping a sense of this male presence to my left, and the arm and hand move in and out of my periphery as if to nudge me from time to time. I am slowly turning my attention to the left. Is there a male who I think is always there? He seems to be Hispanic or Latin, and the more I turn my attention to him, the denser he becomes. Who is this? I'm surprised that I didn't remember this part of the slideshow version without finding the note to myself. Thank you for the opportunity to ask for information that is certainly accelerating my growth and vibration. Thank you.
Thank you. This is an individual that has traveled with you in real life experiences at times in the past and is staying with you at this time and that time in 2012 to stabilize you and to be a comfort to him. He faces are ones that once had bodies that went with those faces. And we suggest that if this happens again, to simply send them love and let them pass through and on. And your friend to the left to do as you see is the best for you, to let him stay and to help guide or to send him love and set him free if that is what you both wish. That is our answer.
Thank you. I'm going to ask one more question, and it's my question. And someday I'm going to do a whole evening about this. But we understand that the Maldekians, Maldek was a planet that exploded, and the entire population of the planet ended up in a tangled mass of fear, and that the Ra group moved those Maldekians into Earth for continuing their reincarnational cycles, and that they were fairly screwed up because they were untangling themselves. How many of us that are listening to these calls, like percentage-wise, are of that Maldek lineage, and what is the overriding impact on that in our present lives?
Thank you. Presently, a large percentage of Earth people are from there, maybe 40-50%. However, there were also at the same time problems on Earth wherein Earth was subjected to atomic explosions and many people on Earth itself ended up in a tangled mass. So part of them, maybe 40-60% are from Maldek, and the rest, maybe 30-40% are from Earth. The majority of people have some effect, have been affected some by past atomic explosions, and it is one of the reasons that it is so hard in Earth, your sphere, to love and be loved and to take part in things, as many are in the tangle and are seeking to unwind it and to let it go.
Of the people on Earth that are derivative of Maldek, is it a racial thing or beyond that? For example, are Chinese people, derivative of Mao Tech, are Native Americans, derivative of Mao Tech, or is there a particular group that has a higher percentage, derivative?
Give us a moment. The Spanish are more from Mao Tech. There are other planets that are derivative of colonies centered by other star systems, like the Scandinavian countries.
So in other words, the Scandinavians tend not to be derivative of Mao Tech.
That's correct.
And how about Chinese?
Give us a moment. We do not see that they are derivative, although some are derivative of Maldek, that all of them are derivative of Maldek. It is a mixture. And there are some in India that are derivative of Lemuria. And Lemuria is of another race that was in communication and travel in Malda.
Thank you. Okay, sometime in the future we're going to do a whole bunch of questions about this, because it's fascinating to know where different people come from, and maybe it helps us understand ourselves better. On that note, we got, I don't know if BBS cut us off. If you're still there on BBS, thank you for being here and listening in.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you all for listening, and we're all unmuted.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Jerry.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Shift happens.
Thank you.
Much love to all. Wonderful evening.
Thank you.
Don Herman, we're going to get to your call.
Okay.
Thanks, Quinn and Terry.
You're welcome.
Right. Good night, everyone.
And
good night.
Good
night. Good night, Elvis.
Your conference recording has stopped. Goodbye.